Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we are dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz.
And I'm Kara.
And today we're talking about work and how when you're trying to become less, sometimes work sucks.
So I guess in other words, it's more about, you know, trying to balance your values when you're, you know, your zero waste values or what have you, when you're at work and you may not have control over your workspace and how things are done. So it's balancing those two and finding, you know, solutions that might work for your workspace, but also work for you.
And obviously, Kara is feeling a little bit more diplomatic than I am this morning. And that may just be because I've had a few experiences recently that have spurred on this topic. And so I might be feeling mildly bitter, but well, we're just thankful that Kara is here to kind of like tone it down. I'll try not to be whiny.
No, I think it's good to get both like different perspectives, right? Like, I think it's, you know, we all have different workspaces. So some places are obviously better than others. And I think it's good to keep that in mind, right? So like some of our listeners might be in workplaces that really make an effort, whereas some other places don't. So it's good to get different views and hear out what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And we all have to work, right? We all have to have money to live. And so sometimes you kind of just have to bite the bullet. And just do it.
For sure.
So you are not currently working because you're home with baby, but you have worked. So is there anything that you can think of that kind of comes to mind in this topic?
Yeah. So for me, like I work in a very traditional office space where people have, you know, their little offices and desks and computers, and that's how we do our work. So for me, obviously, like when you think of, you know, waste around the office, obviously one of the biggest things that I find is, you know, paper, obviously, like printing too many materials, things like that. But there's also just waste around, like, you know, people bringing like the takeout containers or what have you, or food and things like that. So those are the primary things that I can think of when I'm thinking about waste around the office, because we don't actually make like products or anything like that. But they're also like, you know, I'm not sure if we're going to talk about different things that in terms of waste that's being created first, but there's also solutions to these issues, right? And like ways to lessen the waste around the office. Yeah. So I think for me, it's primarily, you know, like people are maybe printing too much, or, you know, everybody goes out for lunch, gets takeout somewhere, and there's all these containers or, you know, things like that. But it's good because my workplace has actually found some nifty solutions to try and reduce waste. So maybe let's hear like what are the biggest, I guess, concerns that you have in your workspace, and then we can try and tackle solutions. How about that?
Okay. When I came to my job 6 years ago, there was like zero effort. I think the only thing that would even kind of be considered like environmental is that the cardboard got recycled.
Yeah.
But there was no attempt to reuse them. They got recycled. Mm-hmm. So when I remember being in my interview and I didn't really know like what position I was going to be getting in the store because I didn't care. I really just was trying to get my foot in the door because I wanted to be a sewing machine technician eventually, which is what I told him. He said he didn't have a position, but anyway. So I said, well, put me anywhere but sales, because if you put me in sales, I'm going to be like, so do you really need to buy this? Like, that's who I am. And so you don't want me.
That's
in your
a major clash. Right?
Like, that is a major clash. So it's like, just that's not going to be a good idea. It's not going to be a good fit for me. You will not see me at my best. At least, like, I mean, I think I'm at my best, but you won't think I'm at my best if you put me in sales, because that's how I'll approach it. I'll be like, you don't need all that fancy stuff. Let's go with this very simple. Like, do you really need to spend that much money? No, I don't think you do.
Yeah.
Not the ideal position for me. So I got put into parts, which is like the prelude to service, which is the best place I could have been. But anyway, so I remember that moment very distinctly. Like, just do not put me in sales, because that will go terribly wrong for both of us. But as part of being the parts department, we do the shipping. And so in the shipping, I managed to collect a lot of the stuff that came in with our product to use for shipping out, which was not happening.
Yep.
Before I got there, everything was just getting chucked and then new stuff was being bought. So we'd like throw out all the envelopes and the boxes, or recycle the boxes, but throw out everything else, the bubble wrap, the paper, like everything just got chucked. And then we'd buy bubble envelopes to mail stuff. And I'm like, but we have all these little boxes and all of this bubble wrap and these peanuts and like all these things that come in with the stuff. Why don't we use that? So
yeah,
that wasn't happening. And now it is.
It must also be a big like money saver when you think about it. No, if you don't have to buy new, like, let's say shipping peanuts or whatever, then you're also saving the company money at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
You'd think.
Yeah. As long as, I mean, as someone who's been a business owner myself, as long as it's not costing you time. Because quite often doing things like that costs paying the person to do them more than just buying the new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have to have a little bit of both perspectives in order for it to be fully valuable, I think. Anyway. So
But I feel like there's a solution there. Like, you know, you have like a designated area where you open the package, let's say, that you got in. And then it's like you dump the peanuts in a bucket or like whatever, like a container. And then you put the cardboard like next to it. And then that's your also your repackaging station. I don't know. I feel like there could be a way to make it not super time consuming, but maybe I'm off.
Yeah. Well, with COVID, like we started doing a lot more shipping. Like shipping wasn't something that we did a lot of before. But now it is. So now it's more of, a little bit more of a priority. So there is like a designated area for small boxes to go and be stored. And there is a designated area for us to put all the bubble wrap that comes in. And there is a designated area with the tape and everything for putting things together. So
that's good.
Yeah. So some of the things recently that have like are grinding my gears a bit right now is like we don't even recycle paper. What?
Yeah.
Like that is the low-hanging fruit, man. That is like the easiest thing you could do, cardboard and paper, to recycle those things. So I brought in two blue bins, one for the front till, one for the back till, so that they were there, so that when somebody had paper, they could put it in the paper bin, and when they had garbage, they could put it in the garbage bin, and like, I was trying to make this so easy for everybody, and I have no idea where those bins are now. They just disappeared. Where did they go?
Yeah, that's weird. I guess the big mystery.
Yeah, it's like somebody was like, this is in my way, and get rid of it, and like didn't even care that it was there for a reason. And I'm just like, oh. I mean, like, on top of the fact that I work for a retail company, which just is the embodiment of the linear system. That's been kind of being very apparent to me recently.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's something that people, you know, like maybe people don't necessarily think about when they think about which jobs they want to pick, right? Like I've been thinking about this recently too, in terms of like, I would find it hard to work in something like retail or, you know, be a business owner of sorts for many like products or whatever. Cause I feel like, well, then I'm just promoting, you know, buying more things.
A little bit of an aside here. I listened to a podcast recently digging into the psychology of Batman and how Batman fights the criminals in Gotham City, but Bruce Wayne is part of what causes the system that creates the criminals. I'm like, oh, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm Batman.
It's complex. It's a complex issue.
But I mean, like, my job is to repair things. So I have this clash where, like, my job is to make sure that the things are lasting as long as they possibly can. But I'm supporting the company who sells the textiles and sells the machines that end up becoming trash, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just... like my position is good, but the company itself, that's not their goal. And so I have this internal struggle every day. So I guess I just have to realize that I still need to work, and I can't continue on my journey of becoming less if I'm starving and homeless. I mean, I guess I would use less resources if I was starving and homeless, but I wouldn't feel good about it.
But there are ways. I mean, like you're saying, you know, you try to do initiatives at work that make it a bit more eco-friendly. And, you know, those things can be done in multiple workplaces. So, for instance, in my workspace, we noticed that a lot of people were, like, throwing out in the garbage a lot of things. So what they did was they actually moved garbages. So we used to each have one under our desk, and they actually moved it. So we only had a garbage in, like, two spaces in the office. So, like, one in the kitchen, and I think there was one in one of the other rooms. And so you'd have to, like, walk and go and throw things out in the garbage. But you would still have access to your recycling or, like, your compost in your office. So that made it, like, you're much more aware if you had to throw out something, you know? So, like, that was one of the things that we did. And I think that made a difference. And then we also, like, for instance, another thing that my workplace started was we started using reusable dishes and, like, plates and cutlery and all that kind of stuff in our kitchen instead of having, like, just ones that you'd dispose of. So everybody would have, like, plates and things like that. But when we'd have, like, get-togethers or, like, parties and stuff like that, we would also use those plates. Like, if we ordered some food or something, like, instead of getting, like, you know, the plastic forks that come with takeout or whatever, like, you'd have the cutlery and everything at your disposal. So that was another cool kind of, you know, just, like, trying to limit the amount of waste that you had.
Yeah.
So those are some things that we do. And there's, like, other things, you know, we, especially now that people were working from home, like, right before I got on maternity leave, like, we weren't really printing anything because people were working from home. So I'm hoping that that kind of stuff continues when we go back to working from the office as well, right? If we've lived, like, almost 2 years without printing a document, maybe we can continue doing that.
Right. Well, that is one thing that I think is good that came out of the pandemic is I think that a lot of places will continue to allow working from home, which means less commuting. Mm-hmm. It means less paper because everything has to be done digitally. There are just so many good reasons for working from home. And I mean, as far as environmentally, I really hope that that is a trend that continues on, that people are like, hey, this actually does work. And hey, the business doesn't have to rent a space out that's as big so they can save money for the company. And right, like, I really hope mm-hmm. that becomes more of a new normal. Unfortunately, not in my work, that's not going to work. But
for in-person, it's more tactical. For my job, for instance, I would have to travel to Europe once or twice a year, and or other places, not necessarily Europe, but, like, basically with COVID, we all did these, like, massive conferences online because it's, like, a bunch of different countries, like, people in different places. So now we've been doing them online. So I don't know if we'll go back to doing it in person. But, like, think of, you know, all the flights that people are, all that, you know, the greenhouse gases and stuff that come from that flying.
Yeah. Do you find that as effective, though?
In terms of, like, I guess I think you can get stuff done. Like, for what I was doing, I think it's still possible to do it virtually. Mm-hmm. But I guess it really depends on your line of work, right? Like, if I'm not dealing with a business or anything like that, like, my stuff is more research-based, so it's a bit different. But I could see how that could be more challenging if you're, like, trying to do business deals or what have you, or things like that. But if you're talking things that are, like, presentations or research, or, like, you can kind of still make decisions by holding meetings, I think it can be effective. And and it saves, like you're saying, like, lots and lots of money for different businesses and things like that. So I think that's interesting. And it also means, like, you know, your staff aren't necessarily jet lagged or what have you, like, those benefits too, right?
I was supposed to go to the Recycling Council of Alberta conference in the fall, but it was during one of mm-hmm. the little COVID peaks. So I decided not to go. And they put everything online, so you could go and watch the recordings if you had opted to be there as a participant. But I didn't watch any of them. I'm just like, I would have loved to go, and I would have been inspired, and I would have connected with people. And just, like, having the talks posted online I don't know what it is. I feel like sometimes being in person is just more motivating, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like
and you're there, and you're like more forced to listen to, as opposed to like, oh, I have 10 things to do at home or whatever. Yeah, that's true.
As an extrovert, like I want people around me. I am motivated and energized by being around people. But I can see why the introverts are like, no, this is great. Just post it online. I will get just as much out of it.
Yeah. No, I guess that's true. I think for work purposes, it's more like you kind of have to do it. So it's one way or another, it has to get done. But if you have the option of opting in or opting out of something, then yeah, maybe it's a bit harder to get people to
get hyped
to tune in after the fact or things like that. That's true.
Anyway, I mean, I have to say, like, my work has improved over the last 6 months, but I will say it is like 99, well, I can't even say 99% me, because one of the big things that we were going to do, which happened just as COVID started, so it got kiboshed, but they were going to be upgrading our till system to include the ability to email receipts rather than print them.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So, but the upgrade was just as everything was shutting down. And so we didn't have the, like, we all had to close the store down. So, of course, that was not the priority. And then that whole mission got scratched.
Mm-hmm.
But they were trying to. And I imagine that they will eventually do that. So that was not me. I had nothing to do with that. But, like, the bins in the kitchen. So now there's bins for paper and jars and cans and anything that's not regular office garbage, right? Like lunch garbage and stuff is mm-hmm. all in the kitchen, so that doesn't just automatically go into the garbage can. And so when my boss goes to take the cardboard in, he takes any of those bins that are full as well.
Oh, that's good.
And I was like, if I just make this as easy as possible for you, you're going there anyway.
Another one that we have in our office is, have you heard of TerraCycle? Yeah. So we have boxes. I think it's mostly for those like little coffee pods things. But now I think they're making them that you can recycle them. I'm not entirely sure because I don't actually drink coffee. But we had those in our kitchen too, and people were using them. So basically, for people who don't know, it's like if there's an object that you think you are not necessarily able to recycle, but you don't want to throw it out, like TerraCycle, I guess, is another way. Like, they're a company that finds solutions to recycle those objects. So that might be an option too. If if your office goes through a lot of one thing, then you're like, oh man, there has to be a solution. Maybe that could be something. So that was another one that could be useful. And in terms of, I'm not sure about your workspace, because it seems like you do a lot of the trying to get people on board, right? And it's like a one woman show trying to get it going. For my office, people are actually pretty interested in trying to become more like eco-friendly. It's been good. What I've done is I've worked with, so the local libraries here, we have like these environmental like experts that do like a 1 year kind of stint with the library, and they like help out, residents and businesses and things like that. And you can book appointments with them, and they come in and like guest speakers. So I got one of those people to come in right before the pandemic to like help us kind of teach people how to be more, zero waste in their lives, but also in the office. And people were like so excited in our office after she came. They're like, oh, we should do this and that. And like, that was a good way. Like, if you're trying to get people on board, like that could be an option for other workplaces. I'm not necessarily talking about yours. I'm just saying like, oh, that could be interesting. Yeah. Having someone else externally come in.
How many people are in your, how many people are there though?
So normally it would have been like maybe 40, 50 people.
Yeah.
So it's quite a decent size office. Yeah. And we have these things called like lunch and learn. So it's like when you have like a topic of whatever, like has nothing to do with work, it's just like a topic someone's interested in, and either they present on it or someone else can present on it. So I got someone to come in for that, and people just eat their lunches and just ask this woman a gazillion questions, and they're really into it. So that was kind of fun. And other things, I don't know if your workspace does this, but to get people motivated is you can have like make it a challenge, like an eco challenge, right? Like for 1 month, let's say, or a week or whatever you choose, try to get people to like curb a certain habit in your office space. So whether it's like you guys don't get takeout that week, so you don't have more containers, or I don't know, like you try and limit the amount of garbage that you guys do, like those kinds of things, like people can get really into it. And that might spark, that habit that your office decides, okay, well, we did it for a week or we did it for a month. Why can't we just keep doing this, right? So those are things that we've noticed have been effective in my workplace. I mean, it's not perfect, but I think when you talk about it more, it gets people excited and then they feel like they're actually making a difference and empowers them to keep going, right?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I'd get a lot of pushback. I don't know. I mean, the things that I have tried to implement have been, I feel like I'm pushing a boulder up a hill every time.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't, there's definitely been changes, but not a lot. I had a chat with my boss recently, and he's like, this really stresses you out, doesn't it? I'm like, yes, it does. And he's like, well, what do you want us to do? I'm like, where did the paper bins go? The low-hanging fruit, man. Like, paper bins. We're still using plastic bags. Like, come on, people.
We need more allies, I guess, in the office.
Yeah, I do have one coworker who is on board for these kinds of things. Like, her and I are the only ones who even kind of care. Everyone else just seems to have other shit going on that they prioritize, and they're just like, yeah, that's just not what I care about right now. And I'm just like, well, your children will, like, in 50 years, they're gonna care a lot. But, you know, whatever.
Is this your colleague who helps you with your compost situation?
That's actually a friend of mine that, she's not a coworker. So, yeah. I go to a friend's place and drop my compost off at her place.
Okay.
Yeah, which I did yesterday, went and dropped that off. It's a funny story, actually. I went and dropped the compost off at my friend's place. So I, like, drive into the alley and start dumping stuff in the back, and her neighbor's dog starts barking at me. So her neighbor comes out and is like, hey, do you have permission to do that? I'm like, I sure do. But I'm like, oh, that's really sweet that her neighbor's actually looking out for her. And I do appreciate that people would be like, hey, stop dumping stuff in other people's garbage. But it was just kind of funny that, you know, I do actually have permission, and I'm just like, yeah, it's okay, I promise, I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Anyway, yeah, compost is something that I'm trying to figure out how to implement in the office, because I think that having a compost in the staff room, people would use it, but I have nowhere mm-hmm. for it to go, right?
Yeah.
So unless I'm personally taking it to the eco station twice a week, I don't know how to go about doing that and make it work. So I just haven't, it's still in the back of my mind as something to come about. And my boss had said, as long as it doesn't smell and as long as it doesn't look trashy, like, have a nice compost bin. He doesn't want mm-hmm. ice cream buckets piling up in a corner, right? Which is what I use at home. I use, like, ice cream buckets that I've had for years, and they just go in the freezer when they're full until I take them to compost. But we can't really do that at work. He's like, no, I don't want that. That's trashy and doesn't look good. And I'm like, okay. So I have to figure out a way, but it's still something that I just don't have that much energy at the moment to implement that, so.
Yeah, it's tough. For us, it's a bit easier because the building where our office is located is actually one of the, like, it's won awards and stuff for being a green building, like a green office tower.
I'm and they so actually, jealous like, so they right have compost.
Yeah, no, it's actually pretty sweet. Like, been there for, like, a few different jobs in that office building itself, which is kind of funny. But they now have, like, bees on the roof. There's, like, gardens around the, like, periphery of the building. Like, they grow vegetables. Like, it's pretty cool for, like, a giant office tower. Like, it's pretty neat.
I can't imagine going to my boss and being like, I have an idea. We should put bees on the roof. I should do that just to see what his reaction would be. Because I bet he would be like, okay, business officially lost it now.
It's actually something that's happening more in the city. There's, like, a lot of, I guess, business, like, offices and stuff are trying to get, like, bees on top of the roofs. And
McEwen, like, University has bees.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they have bees on their roof. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe there'll be more, and it's encouraging. So, I mean, let's not lose hope.
I know. I think part of my, like, meltdown right now is that I just went to BC for Christmas, and just the immediate change in people's reaction when you talk about this kind of thing in BC versus Alberta is just such a contrast. Just like, like here, because I walk to work and like minus 30, I walk to work. And everyone's like, do you want a ride? Do you want a ride? Do you want a ride? Like, why didn't you drive? Why? Like, and I'm just like, it's less than 15 minutes. Like, I can bundle up. It's fine. But they're just like, why wouldn't you do the easier thing? Why wouldn't you do the easier thing? And I'm just like, because there's other reasons to do things, I guess, than just the easiest solution in the moment. It's just a weird mentality shift between Alberta and BC. And I'm in, like, and this is Edmonton. Right?
Yeah.
Edmonton is the greenest little location in all of Alberta. Like, I can't imagine. I don't think I would survive in like Calgary or Red Deer or something. I think I would lose my mind. But my boss keeps telling me, he's just like, but you know what? You'd make a lot more impact here in Alberta than in BC. I think you should stay in Alberta. And I'm like,
that's an interesting, I mean, he may not be off on that. That's a good point.
Yeah, but he's just trying to not lose me as an employee. It's not because he cares about the environment. It's because he cares that he has somebody who does the job. But anyway, it's just been a struggle for me in the last little while. Just sometimes I'm at work going, oh, do I quit? No, I can't quit. I don't actually want to quit. It's just sometimes, some days, it's a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no one said this was going to be easy, right? So I think it's, you know, you have your wins and your sometimes your challenges, but that's what we're trying to, you know, so we keep doing this, right? So.
Yeah. All right.
But should I feel your pain.
Should we do some wine, cheese, and dessert?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, do you want to go first?
Sure. So are we doing the wine first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mine's a bit broad this week, but I've been, I don't know what the weather's like in your area, but for here, it's been really like a lot warmer than it should be, a lot greener than it should be. And I think with my wine, it's just like, where's the snow?
Oh, like, you can have some of ours.
Oh, well, okay. So you got a lot of snow, but like here, it's just been a little bit unnerving, I guess is the word. Like, I'm just a little bit like, oh man, you know, climate change, you can really see it. And it's a bit frustrating. Like, we've only had maybe 2 days where there's been snow on the ground and that's been it. And that's not usually the case.
Oh, wow.
So it's, that's my wine is just that you can really see the impact and it's a little bit stressful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, whereas we've had 3 weeks of minus 30 and so much snow. Like, and the snow, because it's so cold, the snow is just getting compacted rather than like going away because it's so hard because it's so cold. Like, the roads are just like, some places have like 6 inches of compact snow on parts of the road. Like, it, maybe not six, but inches.
I remember that in Edmonton, but
it's insane.
It's crazy.
But then Tuesday, I think it's supposed to be in the positives.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're getting a huge upswing in temperature in the next couple of days.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. But
yeah, so that's my wine. I'm just, you know, I'm like, okay, we need to do something.
We need to do something, people. All right. My wine is that my coworker was telling me that her brother got a Tesla. And in the couple weeks that he's owned this Tesla, he has been bullied on the road by people in large lifted pickup trucks.
Which, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Like, apparently at least three separate occasions where people have, she described it as zooming past him, going into the, like, cutting him off in the lane in front of him, slowing right down, and then blasting black smoke at him and doing it multiple times.
Wow.
And, like, that's dangerous. Like, it's
but it's also...
Yeah. Also, like, giving him shit for something that you are taking our jobs, our oil jobs. And it's like, well, yeah, but you can get other jobs. Like, there's other energy jobs that are opening up now because things are changing. I don't know. Like, it just seems so petty to be getting mad at somebody for doing what I think is the right thing by getting an electric vehicle and moving in that direction, helping society move in that direction towards electric and not oil and gas.
Yeah, it's you shouldn't really feel punished or endangered or it's your decision, you know. That's rough, but it is a very political issue, especially in your area, so in Edmonton, right?
Yeah,
that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, anyway, that's my wine. All right, you promised us a good cheese this week because you thought you were going to be able to do it last time, but hit me.
Yeah, actually, do we do the dessert? So my dessert first, I guess. Is that what? I don't know. I don't know what the order is anymore.
It's usually wine, cheese, and dessert.
Oh, it is. Okay, so that was the right order. For some reason, I thought dessert came last. Cheese, that makes sense. I guess dessert comes last, right? Makes more sense. Oh, my goodness. What a rough morning. All right, so my cheese. So this is at a job interview. So the employer says, we need someone responsible for the job. So the job applicant's like, your search ends here. In my previous job, whenever something went wrong, everybody said I was responsible. Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's good. I like it. All right. I feel like this one hits home a little bit for me because I haven't really been sleeping very well. And so I feel like my memory is not very good either. So my memory has gotten so bad, it has actually caused me to lose my job. I'm still employed. I just can't remember where.
Oh, man.
So silly.
Yeah.
All right. What's your dessert?
Okay, my dessert. So, So Cleo got, my daughter Cleo, she just got a bunch of secondhand toys from my sister-in-law, which was great because, you know, it was so funny because her kids, my daughter's cousins, they were like super stoked and they like put them on a little bag for her and they were like really excited to like pass on the toys. And so it was just like a nice kind of like moment of reusing something. It's just like these kids are excited to pass on their toys that they had fun with to her and now she is having a blast with them. So it's, that's my dessert for this week. It's just like, it's great to see that people are excited to, you know, share what they have and prolong the life of certain objects.
Yay!
Yeah. And what's your dessert?
Okay, so my dessert, this was a few weeks ago at Christmas, but I had another dessert at the time and I was like, I'll save this one for later. So when I was at the airport going through security, I got like pulled aside because there was something in my bag they needed to talk to me about. And it was the safety razor. And so this lady security guard pulls this out and she's like, looks at it and she's like, can you open this? And so I opened it and she's like, okay, well, you can't take the blade with you because you can take it out, but you can have the razor, the empty razor. I'm like, okay, I don't know. No worries. Those are like 13 cents a blade or whatever, like no big deal, whatever. And she's like, but also, where did you get it?
That's so good. That's a really good one.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, they're really easy to find. You just have to search safety razor. And she's like, oh, is that what they're called? Okay, now I know what to look for. And she was so excited. And then also she's like, okay, and there's one other thing in here. And so she like pulled out my bobby pins and she's like, yep, bobby pins. That's what I figured. Guy security guard doesn't know what bobby pins are.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, oh, that's cute. But yeah, I was really excited that she was like, where did you get the safety razor? I want one. And I was like, oh, yay, I'll tell you all about it.
That's great. That's a good one. That's a good one. I always find that when I travel, it's always the water bottle that gets me because I always use a reusable one. So I have to remember to empty before I go through the checkpoint, you know, or else they're like, a whole take your water bottle. I was like, no, you can't take my water bottle. So your story is much better.
Oh, yeah. You have to empty it. Yeah. If it's empty, they're okay, though, right?
Oh, totally. Totally. But it's just the reminder of doing it.
And then you just refill it on the other side.
Yeah. You know, they don't let the liquids on the plane anymore.
So right.
Well,
yeah. Through security. So you can refill it and bring the water on with you once you get past security.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like, empty it and fill it back up after. It's funny. But I'm hoping this person got a safety razor and there's one
I know.
Fewer razors out there.
I was so excited. I was like, yes, absolutely. I'll tell you all about it. And the blades are so cheap. And like, yeah. All right. What's your... we did your dessert.
Yep.
Yes, yep. We did. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, guys, it's been one of those days.
It's been one of those. We've both had one of those mornings. Okay. This is great. Yeah. So thanks for putting up with our crazy, nutty morning that we've had today and tuning in. Thank you to all of our patrons who help support the waste reduction efforts here in Edmonton, Alberta. Thanks to Change Toothpaste to support the expenses of the podcast and make it free for us to do because we are all volunteers here. And if you want to get a hold of Becoming Less, you can reach us at becominglesspod@gmail.com, where you can find us on Instagram at becominglesspod, or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday. I don't know where we were.
Talk about Batman.